All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, December 27th of 2025. Looking ahead here, have a ton of DFS action coming at you over the weekend here. We have some NHL, NBA, college football, and NFL action today, and then probably tomorrow as well. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is... I think I said that already. All right. Little off my game today, I guess. But if you're new here, my name is Andrew. This is our office hours show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Do this show here on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. We're going to go with a short intro here and jump right into SaberSim. Have plenty of questions to get to today. So looking forward to a good show. I have the two-game NFL slate pulled up. Derek asks, how do I select one lineup group per contest with this new update? It used to be right on the lineup page, but it isn't there anymore. Want to view what my lineups look like in each individual contest. All right, so what you would do is you should go to the lineups page. In the template section, you open this up, and the templates will be here. They aren't deletable, so you should always be able to see them, like one group per contest, right? And then if you had, say, 220 maxes, for instance, right, and we'll generate 500 lineups. Make two adjustments here. All right, we're just running some lineups so we can demonstrate this. Lineups are just about done here. I'm going to switch both to Uniques 1. Old Saber score is fine. So when you're in this view right here, right, this is effectively if I had 220 maxes, this is what one group per contest would look like. And then from here, I can click on the name of a group. It will zone in on that group to show the exposures for that group only. So that is what you want to do. You should still be able to find it right here in the template section. All right. Next question. For settings on correlation and diversity, what are the default settings for 9-plus NFL game slates, and how would these settings change for showdowns or 2 or 3 game slates? Yeah, so the best way to find out what the defaults are is to just open a new build and check if you have adjusted the settings. You will see that when you open a new build, they go back to whatever the default settings are. And then to see what the differences are, you know, like right now I'm on a 2-game slate. Okay, I go, I look at the settings. They're at 2.9. All right. And then I go to, say, tomorrow for NFL, we have a 9-game main slate tomorrow. I go over to the 9-gamer, same thing, open up a new build, and then we go to the settings, and the 9-game slider settings are 5.8. So basically what's happening is correlation is going up the more games there are on the slate, and sim diversity comes down slightly. The kind of underlying premise here is that when there are less games on the slate, you need to be closer to the optimal lineup. And when you need to be closer to the optimal lineup, number one, you want your sim diversity to go up. And number two, you don't want to artificially inflate the projections in kind of any way, shape, or form, or you want to do that less. So what correlation does is it makes it more likely that players who are correlated together end up in the same lineup. So what we do is we take the play-by-play correlations, and then we amplify them. We make them stronger. So when you see Hunter Henry is correlated to Drake May at a 0.35 value here, this is his raw correlation. This is if correlation slider was at 0. So there's already correlation in the sim, but we could make the impact of the correlation stronger via the slider. And on bigger slates, it is okay to do that because you likely do not need the optimal lineup to win. So on smaller slates, two games, the slider is going to come down and down and down and just rely more on the play-by-play correlation. So that's the best way to see what the different sliders are. And that's kind of the story that it's telling you. All right. Next question. I watched Jordan's latest late swap video, and it was very helpful. One question for some NFL slates. I may have close to 300 contests I'm in, broken out between builds of GPPs, multipliers, and cash. For cash and multipliers, let's say I use the same one lineup across all my cash entries. When doing a late swap, do I have to manually check all cash contests in order to only late swap the one cash lineup? Or can I just leave all of the contests checked but select my cash template after hitting late swap, and will that work the same? Okay. So what you're going to want to do, well, by default, right? Anytime you have a lineup in more than one contest and you want to keep that the same, you should use the all contests in one group template. The reason for that is because it uses this, the late swap logic here is always defaulting to unique lineups, where anytime you have a lineup, if you have, you know, if I have 20 lineups across two 20 maxes, the all contests in one group will keep that the same. It will say, hey, we started with 20 lineups. We are going to continue with the 20 lineups. So that is what this part is doing here. So this should be like kind of your default that you go to. What you could do is, I wonder if he could build one. No, I don't think so. Yeah. Okay. So I think the answer to this is simpler. Go with all contests in one group. The lineups that are duplicated, it will maintain. The lineups that are not duplicated, it will just swap those as normal. So I don't think you need to spend a lot of time like in the late swap window kind of unchecking and checking contests. The only way you would need to do that is if you decided that you wanted to use different swap settings, right? So like if we go to the late swap tutorial, this might make a little bit more sense. Actually, that's the old one. Release notes. All right, let's pull this up. Okay, here. So the only time it would probably make sense to check and uncheck stuff is if for your cash contests, you were building with like optimizer mode, and for your GPPs, you were building with sim mode, which is like what we recommend. Take advantage. I'm like almost positive this works. This is why it's set up this way. Take advantage of filtering the table here. Like, the same way you can right click on a header here in like SaberSim, do the same thing in the late swap thing, right? Because I could filter, for instance, by type. You know, if this was type, I'd be like, okay, you know, I only want to see my GPPs, right? And then, so I go and I only look at the GPPs. And then maybe I uncheck them all with the mass uncheck box here, which will uncheck all of the contests at once. And then I turn off this type filter. Now I'm only left with, say, my cash contests, and then I switch those to optimizer mode. So the whole reason that this, like, you know, uncheck all box is present is to make it easier for you to quickly go through your contests and select which ones you want to swap and which ones you don't want to swap. So I think some combo of like table filtering and uncheck all should make the GPP and cash separation a lot faster. So that is the only time I think you really need to spend time deciding which contests you're swapping for based on build mode, right? That's going to be valuable. All right, next question. I've created a lineup group template that results in approximately 10 lineup groups. How does SaberSim sort these? I assumed it would give the highest potential ROI groups the highest priority, but I've had some odd things happen. For example, my cash game lineup group is listed near the top ahead of some other MME GPPs. So the way this works, let's say you run a build and you have, you know, 220 maxes. The builder sorts these by dollars per entry, okay, which is the average entry fee per entry in a group. So if I have, well, we're just going to break it down. You know, I know you said you have 10. Let's say we have two. Let's say the top one is $1 and the second one is 50 cents. $1 is going to go on top. 50 cents is going to go on the bottom. The reason it does this is because the higher dollar per entry contests have a bigger impact on your overall portfolio. So what SaberSim is doing is saying, hey, we want to make sure the highest dollar per entry contests are get the first lineups, and then the lower dollar entry ones get the next and the next and the next. So the smaller dollar per entry are just going to have a smaller impact on your overall portfolio dynamics. So that is why it works that way. But good clarification question there. All right. Why don't we jump into a build demo? We will jump back to the two-game slate for later this afternoon. All right, so building for this two-game slate here. And I'm just going to do one group, 20 lineups. So we've already kind of started this here. Infamous Quarter said that that makes perfect sense. Thanks, you're welcome. All right. So what did I do up front, right? I'm going to use these lineups. I didn't really do that much. I made two small adjustments to project to ownership projections here. And then I didn't set up any rules or filters. I didn't really change any sliders. Kind of just rolling with the defaults here, right? Trusting the projections, letting SaberSim figure out what are the best things to do on this slate. I always say the smaller the slate, the less kind of restrictions you want to give the builder, because the less games on the slate, the higher the variance, which means like weird things can happen, and you kind of want to let the builder like figure out what are the best options here, right? That's at least the approach we take here. So very, very hands-off up front. Okay, great. I run 500 lineups, run as many lineups as your plan allows. I get into the post build. Right now, I'm just using Unique's One Saber Score because I don't have an entry file uploaded. If you do have an entry file uploaded, I would recommend sticking with portfolio diversity. But either way, I'm in the post build now. Great. I'm going to come into my table and sort by exposure. And a couple things I want to do, right? One, I want to look at my highest exposed plays. Yes, that is true. I also want to look at my highest leverage plays. For instance here, right? I have some high exposures, 95, 85, 80, 80, but these players are very high owned as well, right? So I don't actually have to, I'm actually not that different from what we expect the field to do here. Now, the biggest, like, quote unquote, stand I'm actually taking here is on one Malik Willis and then two Jaden Reed. And Jaden Reed is my biggest leverage, second biggest leverage play, but he's only 55% owned. Right. So like playing Jaden Reed in 55% of my lineups is a lot more impactful than playing Nico Collins in 95% because he's 80% owned. Right. So much of the field is playing him. So those are the things I want to look at. Right. Positive leverage, also negative leverage. Who am I taking the biggest stand against? Right. Looks like I'm pretty heavily fading the Chargers here. Don't really like McConkey, Herbert, Allen. So just kind of taking a stand against. Seems like their passing game as a whole here. If there's something you don't like, you have tools to change those things, right? Minimax exposures are going to be your best options here to get more of a player, less of a player, whatever direction you want to go there. For me, I'm okay with this, you know, taking a stand on Green Bay, taking a stand against the Chargers. I think all of those things are okay. I'm not very opinionated here. And I think at the end of the day, though, what you don't want to happen is you don't spend the couple of minutes that it takes looking at those things. You get into the contest, something happens, and then you're like, oh my gosh, why do my lineups look like this? I would have never played my lineups this way, right? That is what we're trying to avoid, right? We're trying to make conscious stands. Hey, I am aware I am taking a stand against the Chargers. Do I accept that or do I not, right? I'm aware I'm making a stand on the Packers quarterback and receivers. Am I comfortable with that or am I not, right? At the end of the day, we want to be happy with how our lineups looked before we entered them. That way, whatever happens, you know, we can kind of accept that, right? So good or bad. All right, question rolling in while we're talking about this. SaberSim doesn't support esports showdown contests, so I made my own custom field. It was pretty accurate to actual ownership of the contest, with some players being off around plus or minus 3%. Looks like Chuck here is still typing, which is okay. To elaborate on what we're talking about for other users, so we're talking about League of Legends specifically here. We don't support CS2 anymore, so this has to be a League of Legends question. And for these League of Legends showdowns, we do sim the match, so we have projections, but Chuck is correct in that we do not have ownership. We do not project ownership for League of Legends showdowns. So you can see we have the projections, no ownership, right? This is what the question is around. Second part, do you think having accurate ownership makes up for the fact that I didn't use SaberSim's projections? I developed my own model to predict performance to be able to develop plausible fields. So my opinion here is that having good fields are better than having no fields. I think I'm not exactly sure. I'm open to having my mind changed about this second part. Having bad fields might be worse than having no fields. So like the way I'm thinking about it, right, is like no fields is like, say like a zero on like this spectrum. If you go like 100% one way, negative 100 the other way, no fields is like in the middle. Good fields is good for you. But then bad fields is kind of worse for you, right? Like if you have very inaccurate fields, that might just be worse than having no fields. So here, I think that, you know, based on like what you're saying, like, hey, your ownerships are coming in pretty accurately. I would just make sure to check like the stack constructions. You know, I know League of Legends is a high correlation sport. So it's going to be really important that you're getting your stacks kind of correct, which will mirror the way that like lineups are like actually being constructed, because getting the numbers correct is one part of it, but you know, it's more than just the players, right? It is the way that lineups and the players interact with one another in lineups that is going to be impactful in the sim. So I think like people run a lot of like four stacks and stuff in League of Legends. So keep that in mind when building your own fields. I think it is totally okay that you didn't use SaberSim projections to build them, and that doesn't mean that your projections are going to be bad. So it is okay to have your own model and your own fields, and the more accurate fields that you can make will just help the contest sim to deliver better and more accurate ROIs. So I think all of that is really good. It sounds like a fun project, and I wish you luck as you continue to iterate on it and build, improve your field process here. All right. I'm going to go back to the NFL 2 Gamer for today. Okay. So getting back to this, I think we were like pretty good with everything that we were viewing here. One thing to note, you know, this is a little bit of a reminder for some folks, but I am aware that people like to kind of look at their positions, right? Like, hey, I want to look at my quarterbacks. I want to look at my running backs, receivers, right? For the running backs, receivers, and tight ends, these players are all eligible for the flex. So it is better to view them from the all tab by going to position, right-clicking, and looking at the running backs, because this will be total exposure. This will be running back plus flex. So like a good example here is, okay, we're going to go to the flex. Okay, so like Derrick Henry is 50% owned in the flex, right? If I looked in my running backs, I don't have him at all. The reason for that is that SaberSim will default players in the later game to the flex position to give you flex, you know, more flexibility in if you need to swap or anything like that. So I might look at my running backs. Hey, I don't have any Derrick Henry. But if I look at my overall running back exposure here, well, I actually have 50% Derrick Henry. So that is what is happening here. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, only running backs, receivers, tight ends are the only ones you need to be concerned about. Other than that, quarterbacks, you can just look at quarterback slot. Defense, you can just look at defense slot. All right. With that said, oh, wait, follow-up from Chuck. Chuck said, thanks. I think I can check my work with Contest Flashback 2. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Contest Flashback works for League of Legends showdowns. I know it works for regular contests. So why don't we go back? Looks like there was a slate yesterday. We can check real quick. It does work. Yep. So League of Legends Showdown Contest Flashback is active, and you can definitely check how everything worked here. All right. With that said, I think we are all caught up with questions. Knocked out a slate demo for NFL. So, going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So, until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.